When you need to do more with less, Upwork helps you hire fast without the overhead. Find expert freelancers in design, marketing, IT, AI, and more. Never tried Upwork? Now's the perfect time. Spend your first $1,000 and get $200 in credit for your next project. No upfront costs. No long-term commitments. Just $200 to reinvest in what matters. Go to Upwork.com/save to get started. That's UPWORK.com/SAVE. Upwork.com/save.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Good for Construction, a podcast dedicated to architects and architecture in India. And I'm your host, Isha Bajaj. In season one, we talk to architects across India who are now successfully running their own enterprises and companies. We talk to them about their journeys of the transition from architecture school to getting a job and finally starting their own business. And today in studio, we have Richa Arora from Studio Make. Hi, Richa.
Hi, Isha.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you. It's actually a pleasure to be here.
So let's start by talking about Studio Make and how it came about.
Yeah, I mean, and that's actually the entire story. So Studio Make is basically, we're a very small studio at the moment. Mm-hmm. We are about three partners.
Okay.
But one is a sleeping partner in that.
Okay.
So yeah, we started in 2017.
Okay.
But officially we started in 2018.
Okay.
So we got our first project in 2017, but I was still working somewhere else at that moment. Uh-huh. So I was working with Ranjan Gupta at PPL in CR Park.
Okay.
In Delhi only. Uh-huh. It caught my eye because we were working on a very big institutional building. Mm-hmm. And so it really always bothered me that I want to work on something small scale.
Yeah.
So when an opportunity came along, I took it. And I never really had the intention of ever opening a firm. Because this is something really funny. I always thought that people who start a studio before they're 30 are stupid. Because, no, I'm not kidding. It was such a dilemma when I started, when I got to the point where I'm like, okay, like maybe I should start something on my own. I was like, oh no. So yeah, I mean, basically why I actually always thought that it's not a great idea to be opening your own thing so soon is, like I was telling you before, that for a lot of people it's about product, but for me it's always been about
the process.
I do not think that I've gained enough knowledge to create processes of my own. You know, there's a lot. I do have the knack of extracting a lot from a process,
right?
And that's also something one must learn. Mm. But I didn't still have the confidence, I would say, or actually I knew that I cannot, at 26 or 25, I cannot actually produce a process for someone else to benefit from.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would never do it for one person.
Yeah.
And I could never do it like, oh my God, let's do just renders, you know? And then that's how we'll start. And
yeah.
I was never a person like that, and it has to be through that entire, we check boxes, or we'll design, we'll do like a nice model, and then we'll do... I want to go properly because that's what I enjoy, right? And even though it can be in any chaotic manner, but it definitely has to go through all of the steps. Mm. That's because one of the reasons that why I started taking up another job, because I thought that I want to do something on the side.
Mm.
Because when you work on a really big project, you don't want to become just a small part of it.
Huh.
And you, at some point, design goes for a toss.
Of course.
Because it's mostly management.
Yeah.
And so this is something that I was experiencing while I was working for someone else.
Oh,
and I had taken up too many responsibilities.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, fine, post 8 o'clock, post 9 o'clock till when I would be working there. This is my design time.
Uh-huh.
And then started the series of night out and always being tired.
Yeah.
For a year it went by like that. But it was just so exciting always.
Uh-huh.
And at some point I think like I was so tired that I kind of let go of the discretion of who I'm talking to about it. And I'm talking to, one day I realized I'm talking to my boss about this one project that is not actually his project. And then but he's cool. And he is cool about it. And then,
then that's fine.
Yeah. And then, it actually went this thing because he knew that I was performing my best at work anyway. Mm-hmm. So he never took that in the wrong sense. And he started giving me tips. In fact, when I quit my job is when I had found this collaboration that actually was probably the best that I could find at that time. And I knew that this is something that I've been looking for. And I don't think I'll get a better hand at that after this. Or anytime soon, at least. So that was a very hard choice.
So did you always know that one day you will have your own business when it comes to architecture?
Not really. I did know that I will end up working for myself at some point. I actually didn't see it happening before 20 years. And because for me, what was more exciting was that who are the people I get to work with? And so this choice has always been really, really tough for me. In fact, like I had a relapse in because last year at some point I was thinking, oh my god, I met a few architects at some opening and I was just joking with them that, you know, that I had applied to you 6 years back and I'd applied to you for an internship and I never thought that, like, now I'm standing here and I'm speaking with you and we're talking about our firms. And then it hit me that actually all the people that excited me about architecture, that these are the kind of great minds that I would get to work with eventually. Other people I can't work with anymore. I'm working for myself and I cannot give it up and then go for any masters that I want. I've started, this is a monster. I've given birth to a monster. And then you cannot just let it be. Because it's just self-destruct with them. And at least at the moment I cannot, because there's just a lot going on. And so that's what it is. And then, but then, you know, as we spoke about, I met more people. I realized that actually, when I started talking to them about a project that we're coming up with. It's a pro bono project. There's a school, it's a farming school in Lucknow that we're doing for girls. And it's very interesting. It's they basically only teach girls, and the couple that is dedicated to it, Anish would go around every morning, do two rounds, pick up all the girls from around 15 hermits around the village. And it's outside of Lucknow, in Unnao. And then they would come, and the idea is to educate the girls, but also educate them in terms of farming, so that they don't, because they're all from farming families. And the biggest liability is that, let's say, like, for them, it's the girl becomes a liability because they cannot help in farming. So they want to teach them how to actually do that so that they're not married off. Like, it solves a lot of
It's like things, a complete circle.
So, like, they do not get married off sooner. They're giving more value in the society. And they're actually, like, an asset to the community. And also now, because we're teaching them how to organically farm, we're kind of subconsciously imbibing that, like, the better way to farm. So Anish wanted to establish this as an official school because he wanted to take it to a senior secondary school. And so from 40 kids that they have right now, they want to jump to 150 in the coming year. And so they bought more land. And this is a couple who sold everything they could. Like, basically combined the money and just left, and they started this. And
it's
the
so
church...
amazing.
They have two beautifully beautiful adopted daughters. The church helped them out. Everybody in the community helped them out. And so I actually got to know about it initially because my sister was one of the people who helped found it. And so, yeah, I mean, at this point when they now need a building and an infrastructure is why we came in. And I've been speaking with a few of the architects as to, like, the people I wanted to work with and I find interesting. It turns out that they're all very interested in doing something like this. It's just, like, because people always, there will always be people who want to do a lot, but they don't find the opportunity or the gateway to do it. And then I realized it's okay if I can't work for them. But at this point, I'm working with them. And, I mean, what better way, like, just not, other than collaborating with them.
And I think making that shift from, like you said, you know, someone who wants to work for them and then to with them. How are you dealing with that shift? I mean, basically what I'm trying to say is that it's difficult to, like, switch hats.
Absolutely. So basically why I think that that never really hit me is because the firm that I was working for, which is Ranjan Gupta PPL. So Ranjan and Ruchi for run the firm. They never let me wear the hat of an employee. It's a firm where there's no hierarchy. You take up as much responsibility as you can do justice to. And they will never say no.
That's very rare for an architect.
It's very rare. So, which is one of the reasons I'll get to later why I joined that firm.
Hmm.
And so, within the time period that I was working there, I'd already switched hats. And that's one of the reasons why I was just like, you know what, I'm taking up so much pain and so much stress. I couldn't sleep at night. There was just so much going on. And while I'm very grateful also, of course, to be so young and to be given so much responsibility at such a big project. So yeah, but like that kind of helped me prepare for what was to come for me. Yeah.
So the project that you just spoke about, was that Studio Make's first project in Lucknow?
The school? No, that wasn't our first project. The first project was this residence that, the first project actually was a residence that we were doing for one of our friend's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when we started collaborating. That actually is the, that's how we started collaborating. Oh, and okay. It really was never under the impression that we would be starting a firm together at some point, you know, 2-3 years down the line. It's just something that, okay, I like how you design, you like how I design. I'm curious about how, you know, what we will come up with. And so that's how it started in 2016. And so I would say, like, looking back, that was the first project. But then how the three of us came together is the associate at my previous firm. He's an associate, so he can take up whatever projects. And he had a project and he was like, oh, okay, you know what? I need somebody. I want to kind of, you know, put on this project. And you know, anybody young. And I said, yeah, sure. And so I put Saurabh's name forward. And then they started working on it. And then so after hours, Saurabh would come down to our office. And Ranjan's, I mean. And then, or like we would meet somewhere else or anything. But I started becoming part of their discussions. And and then, so like, you know, that flame came back. Like, oh God, like, what am I doing? Doing such a big project. I'm doing a 100-acre medical campus. And this is something I should be doing. A residential project. And you know, where the cause and effect are so close together. So you can get, there's a lot of gratification.
Absolutely.
That is achieved much sooner than a hospital. So, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, and it's also, the hospital is like a really large project. So, realizing it and seeing it in a tangible form is a very slow process.
It's very slow process. And, but it also gave me a lot of different ideas and a very weird sense of power, I would say. Why? Because when I joined the firm, we were 12 people. When I joined Ranjan's firm, we were 12 people. And... imagine going to site where it's a 100-acre site. You are not but a tiny shrub when you're looking from somewhere, right? And it's huge, huge floor plate. It's 3 lakh square feet.
Just I can't even imagine.
So if you were to take an entire block or a colony, right? That's one hospital's floor plate.
Damn.
Right? And you're the only woman at site.
Oh my God. Oh God, that's crazy.
And that kind of like, it freaked me out for a split second. But when I realized it and I was, it gave me so much, I think like I just found more respect for Ranjan that he didn't think of it at all. That, oh God, we're just going to go alone or anything, like, which is nothing.
Yeah.
I'm the only employee that was ever sent to Kochi, actually, to the client's hospital. Okay. They have a hospital in Kochi as well, AIMS in Kochi. I, till now, till date, I've been the only employee that was sent there to, in place of Ranjan.
That's a lot. That's a lot about you and your work.
But no, but like, it was like a shark tank, to be honest, because everybody's like, oh, I want a piece of her. And oh, the architect is here. We should, I want to show you something. So I was, yeah, it was 2 days of medical equipment. But no, it was very, very interesting. And I was basically dealing with doctors and clients that were, they teach in Boston, they're lecturers in Harvard. And so if, when you get praises from them, it matters a lot. So like, I think like these last 3 years have been an opportunity that I could have never anticipated. Yeah, I mean, it's been really great. So when Saurabh and Ajay, the associate, they got together and then I would be part of it because Saurabh and I were anyway doing a project together. I got so excited about the this. That was like, oh no, you know what, we can do this. And I just really begged them, please involve me. Please involve me. And so, yeah, anyway, so I told them that I want to be a part of it. And I think that's how it started. I mean, in hindsight, that's actually how we started.
That's such a nice organic way of just starting work together. I mean, I think no better way than to start and collaborate through a project. I mean,
through a project. I think it always has to be that. Before you, in my opinion, before anybody decides that you can, it's like I said, it's damn stupid to be like, oh, now we have one project, let's start a firm. You cannot do that. You have to have a backup. Okay. That project can be taken away at any point.
Yeah.
And you, if you're really serious about something, you need to have a better safety net. So yeah, we didn't, but I didn't quit. That's why I didn't quit right then. Because for me, it was just a side project that we were doing. It's just that a collaboration was happening at some level. A year later, so about, 3 to 4 months later, Ajay got another project and he's like, oh, do you want to do this?
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know how much time now I can keep taking out because I was already sleeping at 2 every night. And then I was at work at 9 in the morning. And in this, I was also traveling back home, like this thing. And I was just, this was, it was too much. But it was kind of its own thrill, you know. I was young.
Oh, are you still a young girl?
I feel really old. But in terms of what I only mean that I'm working, I'm putting more than 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I'm just tired.
Yeah.
By yesterday, I counted. By 4 o'clock, I had received 69 calls. And I had to take all of them. Every single one of them. And so I'm just like, wow,
Are you still sane?
I'm like, wow, when did I become my father? And because my father would get calls at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and we're just like, oh God, just put your phone on silent.
That's crazy. And, so your dad's also an architect?
He's not an architect. He has his own family business.
Okay.
Nobody's an architect in my family. First, I used to think that that's a really bad thing. Oh God, like, you know, who do I have to look up to? But then I started thinking, you know what, they have nobody to compare me with. And so this is great. I can do whatever the hell I think is
exactly
right.
Exactly. They
have only me and me to measure my success against.
Which is great.
So, actually, I like the fact that there was nobody constantly influencing me. I've actually been blessed with great, great, great parents. Because they were never even questioned as to why I'm doing architecture. They've never question why I wanted to do something like I did. So, like I was saying, choices, right? Choices has been even more difficult because there was no external factor pressurizing me in any way. So, I was in so much pressure to do the best I could do for myself because I have no one else to blame then if things don't go right. And so, that pressure really, like, makes you indecisive. At least it made me indecisive. But things really worked out. And, yeah, but to get back to how we started. So 3-4 months down the line, Ajay asked me, do you want another project? And I said, I don't think so. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, okay, if you're all ready to share responsibility, sure. Blessed it. What did I know? That was only going to come on to me afterwards. And so at some point it became so much that I really was losing my mind. And I didn't have anybody I could put my personal projects onto. So I decided that, okay, you know what? I will quit. But why I actually was okay with that choice is that I never wanted to quit because I always wanted to learn while working for somebody. And so when I'm collaborating with Ajay, who's 50 and he's had decades of work experience and also one of the best designers I've ever met. Him and I, his aesthetic sense and my aesthetic sense, they match a lot. He is, I mean, you really just have to see him sketch. And you're going to be just like, oh God,
this in is awe.
In awe, absolute awe. And he's very practical, very good with detailing, really great with, out of the three of us, he still has the most energy.
That's
crazy. He sleeps the least. And honestly, like, he's always up for things. And so, like, I was like, okay, you know what? Even though I'm quitting from an office environment, it's something that I'm only going to learn and be guided by a mentor anyway. So that was what was really comfortable
that felt
for me.
Safe to kind of jump into this, you know, starting your own firm thing. So here you guys are. The three of you have met. You guys are doing simultaneous projects. When did you decide we've done these projects together? now we're going to start a firm and this is going to be the financial planning. What was it like?
So that's a hot topic at office because it's been quite a while and honestly, we're struggling there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to deny when it comes to the financial part.
Initially, how much did you plan to invest? Because I'm trying to understand, like, if someone out there is trying to open a firm,
mm-hmm.
how much money?
We didn't really invest till now. So let's break it down. What are the investments that you need to do when you open? Mm-hmm. You need a space.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you need a space.
Yeah.
Second of all, you need some systems now that we don't hand draft. Third, you need electricity. You need your resources, everyday resources.
Printer, paper.
That's what you need, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The three of us started collaborating.
Mm-hmm.
We had a problem because even Saurabh and I needed a space to collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, at that time, I was living outside of my house because I couldn't actually travel 32 kilometers one way every single day.
Yeah, obviously.
And so I needed some time because that was exhausting me out and I couldn't work afterwards then.
Mm-hmm.
So we took up a place in Sheikh Sarai and we started working. But actually, that was only for my stay. So I could work longer at my office.
Yeah.
And that was for Saurabh to, like, Saurabh had just come back and he really wanted to explore a few things and then he was so used to not staying at home.
Yeah.
So, like, he kind of, he needed space to really just keep exploring. So, yeah, so he kind of took up and we, then the first collaboration happened there.
Achha.
Then at some point we moved to Shaprajat.
Uh-huh.
And so my evening work became at Shaprajat because Saurabh, with his photography partner, he found a space there. Then when the three of us collaborated and then I kind of became like, oh no, you know what? I'm going to take the lead.
Yeah.
Now I like, this is architecture. This is my forte. And I'm going to take a lead here. So then Ajay kind of jumped in and said that, why don't you take up the space in Asantkunj? And it's a small, it's not very big, but it's decently sized. And so at first we were working on our laptops.
Mm-hmm.
And then when because we'd already started into a year back, which is one of the reasons I actually say do not quit or start a firm right when you get your first project. Because we had some funds from that. We were just doing as much as possible and as least as possible. We were not spending. We didn't have any expenditure other than like the meals or the place we would just meet for meetings.
And travel to site or maybe.
And travel to site. Yeah. But sites had not started then.
Right?
Because we were doing architectural jobs. We were never doing just interiors.
Okay.
So by then we had like a little bit of money. And so we made our own table. Ajay had a wood workshop. So we got into like, okay, let's design our first thing.
Yeah.
And so we made a huge table for ourselves. And so that's today, to this date, we kind of work on that table. And so because now we had a space established, we were a little more confident taking up more work because we knew that we can dedicate more time. And then started with this rain of projects, which is so strange because everybody in the market kept saying there is no work. And I'm talking about in 2018 starting. Everyone is scribbling, there's no work. But that's really great about Ajay that there were people working to get their houses designed from him for three years because he didn't have the time. And he's the most humble person you will ever meet.
Yeah.
And he's like, now that we have a collaboration, now we can do work. And I was like, yeah. And he got so excited. And I was like, fine. And that's something that we kind of got into. And so funds started coming in. But like, it's hard to anticipate how much you can invest. So when it comes to investment, we're just not paying rent. But we're paying our electricity, we're paying water, we're paying the bills, we're paying groceries, we're paying for food for our employees because we offer them lunch. And we're paying for stationery. And of course, like, because our sites are really far away. So we're paying back and forth there. And we're paying salaries to 7 people.
That's a lot of money.
And after that, sometimes we break even, sometimes we don't.
Okay.
But I know, like, for the first 3 years, I told myself that I'm not going to be really looking at that.
Achha. I think it's too soon, you know, to kind of I mean, I don't know much about it, but 1 year down the line, though, it's I think it's okay if you're married.
It's absolutely okay. Yeah. It's just you should have some clue. You should not be going you should not be like eating yourself hollow, your own form hollow, basically.
In a firm, I feel that no matter how much responsibility you have, you know, the owner or the manager, whoever it is, they somehow, you always have that is your safety net, right? That is where if the client is not, you know, happy or whatever, you always have this person. And your work and your reputation is at stake only in the firm, right? What gave you the confidence apart from this project that you were doing, the hospital project, apart from this, how did you feel that you were ready?
So basically, I mean, that's a good question. Apart from the hospital project, but see, we're treating that as a project.
Hmm.
But that really was a lifestyle for all of us.
Oh, okay.
And to the point that I was just living at work at that time, right?
Mm.
And so when like the clients would have anything to say, they would say it to me.
Mm.
And so like you said, that's your safety net when you have a manager.
Yeah.
I was that person for the firm as well.
Okay.
But what actually, that's the reason, because you had asked me earlier before we just started recording that how did I decide I want partners?
Yeah.
This is the reason I wanted to be in a collaboration and never start my own firm on my own, because I don't want to learn out of just my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's great, but I do want to learn from other people. And that's one thing when you have a collaboration and you respect each other enough to really like let other people point out your mistakes, that factor goes down quite a lot.
Yeah.
And so I've seen and noticed this, that even though when we come like, when we see a mistake in a meeting, etc., that the kind of vibe that the three of us carry to meetings, it's so different that everybody becomes so comfortable. We're doing some really, really big projects.
Yeah.
But everybody becomes so comfortable that they never take it as a negative.
Gotcha.
They just take it that, oh, okay, you know what? It's even more personal that, oh, okay, there is a mistake here. No problem.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think like it's taken very well. And I don't know what it's about. Maybe it's about the fact that how we present ourselves. We're very transparent. We don't have a front. How I'm talking to you is by how we're talking to them.
Yeah.
And how Ajay is talking to everybody. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So do you think, in your opinion, you said that, you know, starting a firm before 30 is just plain stupid.
Yeah.
But now, what would be your opinion if someone comes up to you and asks you that, Richa, I have maybe these many years of exposure. How much amount of exposure is enough before you jump out and start your own work?
There's never really a number when it comes
what
to...
What a range. Do
when
you
it
think
comes
so
to
either?
You becoming an architect,
uh-huh.
if you're thinking about as a designer, like, oh, I'm a designer and how many years of experience should I have? There is no number, because you can never have enough experience, I would say. Even if you quit after 10 years, you're going to face similar problems.
Yeah.
But you have to have enough experience to have taken enough shit in terms of managing, in terms of knowing the scale of mistakes.
Gotcha.
You have to have enough. That's the whole point of working with other people.
Mm.
Work enough with other people so you know that what are the consequences of things.
Mm.
And they don't really come on you.
Yeah, they don't.
And so that's the basic benefit that you need to gain out of everybody. You need to understand that. And so when you know the scale of the mess ups that can happen, and you become more careful. So when you're careful enough that you're starting to question that, oh God, I don't think I know enough yet.
Yeah.
I think that's
you're
starting to get there.
Ah, okay.
And so I think about 3 years, I would say 3 to 4 years to gain a good work ethic. It's really important.
3 to 4 years. So what kind of teams were you working with when you were already, you had your job, but you were also doing your other projects individually with Saurabh and Ajay? Where was the rest of the team coming from? In the sense, your contractors, your consultants, and, you know, there's so many other people, electricians, all of these, where were these people coming from?
So, see, I worked with more people than Ranjan, right? So I have had my own personal rapport with when I was interning. I also was handling a lot of stuff then. And that was in 2015.
Okay.
So I had a list of my inventory people. Of my own people at that time. And So we kind of just collaborated. When we kind of just joined our lists mm-hmm. of the people that we know in Delhi who could do. So it was, I would say, like, when it comes to, let's talk about vendor to vendor. Like, mm-hmm. when it came to structures, there are only a couple of people who are really good. Mm-hmm. Who actually truly appreciate a designer's work.
Yeah.
And so Ajay had worked with a few of them. Uh-huh. And so we would always wait on them.
Mm-hmm.
We would always tell them that, okay, this is the job. Would you like to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So it was some were from past experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, we also, obviously, the contractors were also because some regular contractors that we had mm-hmm. been working with. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, we did mess up there
mm-hmm.
because I, for the first project that we ever did, I hired a contractor mm. who I had worked with in 2015.
Mm.
I'd actually worked for 4 years with him.
Okay.
And he did a terrible job. Oh. I think he was personally going through something. And he just did a terrible job. So we had to fire him at some point. And we lost a lot of money and a lot of time in that.
Yeah.
And after that, I just understood that I need somebody who's, basically, somebody else who's able to take responsibility for mm-hmm. that person.
Mm-hmm.
So we started looking at Ajay's regular contractors. And otherwise, there's another ways to, for one project we asked a structural engineer.
Mm.
That's something we do a lot.
Okay.
Because he's worked a lot in this field and he does some really great projects.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked him, when it comes to hiring a site supervisor, we asked him, do you have any recommendations?
Mm-hmm.
Send us an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
We know because if you find somebody who's you appreciate enough or you respect enough mm-hmm. in terms of how they work,
mm-hmm.
you can always understand that they've trained people also well.
Mm-hmm.
So his ex-employees, his ex collaborations.
Yeah.
So he only told us two, three other contractors that he had worked with.
Mm-hmm.
So we invited tenders from them.
Achha.
We said, okay, why don't you give us your quotes?
Mm.
And some electrical consultants also he suggested.
Achha. As most of our listeners know, we've been running a Keto crowdfunding campaign to raise funds and capital to produce season 2. We'd like to take a few seconds to thank all our contributors to help us raise enough capital to be able to produce season 2. The campaign is still on with the link in the description below. If you like the content we're putting out through this podcast, help us sustain this and support us through our crowdfunding campaign on Keto.
So now let's come down to a topic that I want to talk about,
yeah,
which
sure.
is three people, studio and design. So
it's a massacre.
So how does designing work at Studio Make?
Well, it's never the same. Mm. No 2 days are the same, I would say.
Mm.
But I would say, like, there's this one way that we decided that we'll go with it.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, we had about 6 to 7 projects.
Mm.
And we're like, we cannot, because things were so hard to decide.
Yeah.
With 2 people,
yeah,
you're okay, because you'll conclude at some point.
Yeah.
One of you will get tired.
Yeah.
But with 3 people, mm. there's just this variety of opinions. And and obviously, these are 3 people who chose to work together. So you obviously
yeah.
like each other's opinion, but just this, they're different. So
Absolutely.
How do you decide?
Yeah.
We came up with this. We struggled with it a lot.
Mm.
And we, in fact, lost the project because of that. Because we kept changing things, you know. And initially, we lost one project. We decided, okay, you know what? We'll take one person. One person will take a lead on every project.
Mm.
Everyone will get to opinionate.
Mm.
But one person will design.
Mm.
Okay. Rest will become their, whatever.
Advisors.
And also that one person can delegate tasks,
huh.
whichever tasks, huh. like I can handle the structure or
yeah.
whatever, or detailing, like
yeah,
you said.
Yeah.
And so we have been trying to work like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say because we are also a firm where we don't really have a hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm the only permanent this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do end up designing almost all of them
okay.
with Ajay because him and I are able to spare more time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really hard to do so much and then be like, okay, you know what? You take that design call, you know,
yeah.
to not have that possessiveness about
yeah.
a project. And it's
yeah.
such an important thing that we don't ever talk about because... for designers and especially architects, okay? Mm-hmm. Being eccentric is something that, oh, you know what? It's so appreciated and it's so great.
Yeah.
So if you're eccentric, you're definitely a genius. No.
Yeah. Okay.
You can definitely be crazy as well.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to work with a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to, you can be a good designer and also be sane.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's what we're looking for, basically. Mm-hmm. And when I have to take some, like I said, like I have to take so many phone calls
mm-hmm.
in a single day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when somebody else comes in and mm-hmm. takes a design call, because it's actually their project.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're just picking up each other's pieces. That's what the benefit of having three people is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have to fill in for two more people
mm-hmm.
all the time,
mm-hmm.
but I still have to give up that authority
yeah.
when the time is there.
Yeah.
And
but how do you distance yourself from a project that you're working with? I mean, there's a factor of having your own firm.
It's very tough.
Then you're designing
even your own yesterday project. I was so mad. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. How do you do that? I mean, I've heard that a lot of people do it all the time, and all the people that I've spoken to, they've said the same thing, that, you know, the biggest learning we've had is please, please, please distance yourself from the project because it will not go the way you planned it.
Oh, that's a different distancing.
That's a different distancing. Like emotional distancing is one thing, and
practical, like what you expect out of it and what it turns
mm-hmm.
out to be is something else. And I think both are very, very necessary
mm-hmm.
because it just, you don't have to distance yourself emotionally, but you just have to not be very possessive about it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be possessive about design if you want to work with somebody.
I think possessive is the word.
You cannot, if you want to work with somebody, that's the first thing you have to give up,
mm-hmm.
right? You have to be open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's very easy to say, but it's very, very tough because people who are young and have started their projects, they're this thing. There is certainly like this thing of proving something. And to be, wow, you want to prove something and then you also don't want to be possessive. You want to be humble. It's just, it's such like a, it's a sea
it's a,
of, yeah, absolutely. It's definitely very ironic in that sense.
Yeah.
But I think why I found it easy to do that is because when my partner designed, we never design separately.
Mm.
We always design together.
Yeah.
And we just don't say I.
Mm.
There is no I.
It's a we.
It's a we. And I think like that's so great because it covers up a lot of my mistakes.
Mm.
But it also covers up a lot of his mistakes.
Yeah.
And I also don't mind doing the extra work in that
mm-hmm.
case. You know, and that's a very healthy process to have.
Mm.
And I think that's, yeah, I mean, I think that's the key to make anything go ahead.
Work and go ahead. Would you suggest people to have a plan in mind before you, or maybe after you've started your firm, in terms of the kind of projects and the number of projects one should be doing in a year, maybe, for a new firm?
There's no golden number.
Acha.
There is no golden number because you see, in architecture, there's so many like various kinds of projects.
Mm.
Like you can be just doing structure for somebody,
mm-hmm.
or you can be doing full architecture and interiors, or you could just be doing interiors,
mm.
right? So there's no like golden number in that sense that, oh, you have to have five projects, because you actually cannot do five architectural projects by yourself.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that you have to find your own pace.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to decide that number for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give yourself 1 year. You're either going to be burning out constantly. You'll be like, oh God, you know, I cannot do this. I cannot do
mm-hmm.
this. Or you're going to be like, well, I have some more work. I don't mind. If you find yourself saying yes to things,
mm.
it does mean that your number should be a little more.
Mm.
But if you constantly think that you're just in your mind, you're saying no, no, no.
Mm.
And that's not necessarily jobs I'm saying.
Yeah.
No to jobs. But things like you want to do, you want to hang out with your friends at once a week or whatever. But if you think that you're constantly saying no, that number should be lesser because you cannot afford to be burning out at this time. That's something we also promote, like once a week we go out for a game of football or I mean, anybody who's working post 8 o'clock, please have some wine on us. And so, you know, it has to be productive in the end. I cannot have somebody tired show up to work the next day, basically. So for us, the number has been about 5 architectural projects.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also because with 3 people,
mm-hmm.
everybody has their own efficiency.
Yeah.
It takes some people a week to come up with an option.
Yeah.
It takes some people half a day to come up with an option.
Yeah.
Or a night, basically.
Yeah.
So it's very different. But if you're going to be individually doing something, I think more than 3 is definitely suicidal.
Mm. Yeah. You will literally kill yourself.
Yeah. And also, like, I think, like, you'll be... you know what happens? You learn, they're all starting at different points, these projects. Now I'm 4 months into the first project. My second project is coming. Okay. And now what I actually learn, because I'm new, let's say like we're all under 30 is new. No matter how much you construct, you run. Yeah. You've not done everything.
Yeah.
Right. 8 months down into the thing, you realize, oh God, this is the problem that we're facing because we didn't plan for it initially.
Yeah.
And so now the third project that you were starting, you're redoing everything because you don't want to face the same problem.
Yeah.
Right. But imagine if five of these were going on, you'd not be able to keep track.
There needs to be some distance between time between project to project.
Absolutely. Because you need time to absorb. Otherwise, you're doing the same damn thing then. Why are you committing the same mistakes everywhere?
True.
So you have to distance that. And for that sake, I would say keep lesser number of projects in the start.
So when it comes to studio make, I mean, every firm, every studio, eventually they, you know, bring in their own visual vocabulary and, you know, their own style.
Yeah.
So how do you think your studio is going to... Are you interested in coming up with your own style? Because this is also something that...
I think we already have one.
Actually, you have one.
To start with. Because technically, we've been working for almost 2.5 years now.
Yeah.
What we all sort of like. That's the reason we collaborated. Because we thought that we all have the same language.
Ah, okay.
And so, I'm also very interested in seeing it. And I think like by the end of this year, we should be able to identify, okay, this is kind of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And because we're going to be finishing more than 2-3 projects now. So, yeah, I'm quite excited. So we do have a language and it's not very, it's not very necessary for you to have a language when you start. You can eventually find it in 5 years, 6 years.
Because I've heard people, surprisingly, some people were not interested in having that language. And I was quite confused because, you know, when you start your own venture, not only do you need to create your own niche in the market, but you need to, people need to recognize your work and say, point at it and say that, okay, fine, this is done by this person. Like, it doesn't have to be like starkly in your face. It can also be the quality of work that you produce, right?
I think that's where we're mistaken.
Acha.
In setting our goal. When we start something, you are not... when we start something, we should not be looking at recognition. We cannot be at 24 and be like, oh, you know what, when I'm 26, people should be able to recognize my work. You know, you have to put some things in perspective. You're doing architecture, you're studying people. Even if I talk about, let's say, local architects, you're studying about Doshi, you're studying Korea. They were not, they didn't have a language until like 30 or so.
Yeah.
And the language got established later because it is not always, you're not always going, when you start a firm, you're going to be able to take up whatever comes your way.
Yeah.
Right. And you want to basically stay afloat. So out of the four projects that you may be doing, one may be the one that actually is going the way you like. And three may be just to keep you guys
above water. Like head above water. Yeah.
Yeah. And those are the projects that you must produce and just kind of give out. Because there are some clients who are not ready to take the kind of design input that...
Yeah.
Because there are so many people who hire architects still don't understand what design is.
Exactly.
Yeah, right? True. They just think that's the kind of architect who... He's a contractor. For a lot of people, an architect's a contract.
They get the work done. They stand on site and get the
exactly.
work done.
And they like... They do it the way I like it.
Achha.
You know? So that's the mentality.
Yeah.
And while you try to do your best, that's how things go. And you cannot really beat yourself up because you don't have a language.
Yeah.
And people are not going to recognize your work. I think like that's a very long-term goal.
Achha.
And so we should not be really fooling ourselves and be like, oh, you know what? I want to start my firm because then people should be able to recognize me. Give that up. First, do as much work as possible. There is no other thing I feel.
Experience first. Then
absolutely.
Everything comes.
You may actually change your language in your own head in 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah, it evolves. I mean, it's obviously not the same that it was when we started architecture school, you know.
Because I think like setting up your own language also restricts you from branching out.
That's what I was going to ask you next. That, you know, do you find it to be restrictive with some projects when you...
Because we are not really, we do not restrict ourselves ever. There are a few things that we like. Mm-hmm. And that comes out in many different ways. Mm-hmm. So we are not, it's not like we always play with colors. We sometimes don't. We sometimes do very monochromatic things. Sometimes we do very, very nice and bright things. I think, but there is this one language that we always work with. Mm-hmm. Is we try to stay as honest to the material as possible. Mm. And we never ever compromise on light. Mm. Ever. No matter even if the living space becomes smaller. Mm. So we never compromise on natural light. And so when your language is this, is principles and not aesthetic, you know that you're not going to sacrifice on these principles. Mm-hmm. And it's not something aesthetic. Like, I feel like people find language to be like, oh, okay, you know what? He always does those kind of colors.
Like someone always,
But that's not actually a language. You have to see how somebody actually designs the structure. Mm-hmm. And that's the language. Mm-hmm. If you like, look at these maestros and, you, Doshi was never about, oh, it's this is the particular type of column that we're doing. And you have these Portuguese architects at the moment, Aismatus, or they do a lot of different, it's just their structure is always
something
this thing.
Like
so either their principle is that lines are going to be this way, or I'm going to always be playing with shadows. So you have to start identifying that. You cannot restrict yourself in something superficial and that may change in a few years.
You should be led by principles
instead of aesthetics, because that'll 5 years down the line, something else will be
true,
trendy.
And even you will evolve, I think.
Absolutely. And having your principles in place lets you evolve in a much, I would say, like it gives you flexibility and more room to keep changing, keep evolving. Rather than restricting yourself that, no, this is a language I have to stay true to, you know.
Why did you do architecture in the first place?
It's basically, I've always been very fascinated with being on the field.
Achha.
I never ever thought myself as a person who could sit behind a desk. Ironically, that's what I'm doing at the moment. But yes, so I was very clear as to what I wanted, what kind of a job I wanted, basically. Which was not a job. So as a Kerala while growing up, I was very fascinated. And I always wanted to be Air Force pilot. And so when it came and I had to choose science or whatever, I was always very interested in arts. But I just kind of took that leap, and I hated science, by the way. But I still took it because I wanted to just be a pilot in the Air Force. Things changed, decisions changed, because women could not fly fighter planes anymore. We follow the Russian defense system. And so women are not put in any positions that basically you can be taken as a prisoner of war. That kind of killed it for me. And I was like, no. And so the second thing was that being on field as an architect. And so, that's how I actually fell into architecture, because that's always my second choice. That way, I would say, like, what choices that led me to the point that I am were, these choices were very easy for me, for a person who's so indecisive. And that's, in hindsight, when I look at it, it's extremely funny for me, because I was so sure of the things I wanted to do, which is something very rare. You will find me struggling with just what shoes to wear, even in the morning.
But I think these major decisions come from the gut. I mean, I feel indecision is in your head, but when you're sure, it's there in your gut. It's like a gut feeling and you know what to do.
Probably. But ironically, actually, for me, it was more that I actually never really... The decisions were sometimes made for me. It just kept rolling in, you know.
Yeah.
It was really strange, because when I joined my internship afterwards, out of architecture, in third year, I already decided, okay, I don't want to do this. What is this, you know?
Yeah.
But in fourth year, it started getting more interesting, because now I was basically applying that skill set somewhere, and it became more into social issues, and I could see a lot of economics getting into it and a lot of human psychology coming into it, which is something that always interested me. So I was like, you know what, I'll stick around. I'll see how this goes. And so in 2015, I applied for my internship. I actually only applied to 3 places.
Okay.
While we were forwarded lists, in Delhi.
That's the thing.
And I went through everyone's work and I decided, okay, this is the place. These are the 3 places I want to work at. And, one of them The first one that I went for the interview, the first one, I got in. I worked with architecture discipline with Akshat Bhatt. I truly, truly appreciated the kind of work ethic that he drilled into me.
Mm.
When there is nothing short of a certain quality of work that he ever accepts.
Mm.
It doesn't matter if it takes me 10 tries.
Yeah.
I should not be going up to him and telling me this is the best I can do if it's not up to the mark. And so like that's something that really helped me.
Mm.
But after my internship ended, I needed a break
from
human beings. And who would have known that gave my second opportunity of architecture?
Yeah.
I went to Bhutan.
Wow.
And on my eighth day, I was just in the morning at this cafe that I would go to every single day. There was this one person I would often see there. And then he came up to me that day and he said, I see you reading your book all the time. And I knew that he was Indian. So we just started talking. Turns out he was an architect.
Wow.
And he lived in South Africa, but he was now working in Bhutan for the government.
Yeah.
And we started talking. I started showing him some of my work. And 3 days later, I got a job offer.
He said,
and he's just like, I have a project coming up. We're doing architecture school, actually.
Okay.
And so if you would like to join, I said, you know what, let me go back and then I'll come.
Yeah.
I went back. We got through everything. We're like, okay, fine. You know what? Let's do it.
Hmm.
And so there was some problem with the visa at that time. So we had to wait for some time. While I was waiting, that person is like, you know what? You told me that you're so interested in Ral Malhotra's work. And I had shown a lot of we discussed it at length. I actually forwarded your work to him and
what?
I actually forwarded your portfolio to him and he has a book launch. He launched his Kumbh book. He has a book in 2015.
Okay.
He has a book launch on Monday and wants to meet you. I
what?
Said okay, he's, I was like, I'm not sure if I can do. I started panicking, okay? Because honestly, I wanted my journey to really start from Raul Mehrotra's work.
Yeah.
Because I've been super interested in the kind of work he does. And, but I was more interested at that time, the research work that he was doing. And then next thing I know, in the evening, I'm getting a call from him.
Yeah.
And who is it? Rahul. It's Rahul Mehrotra calling me. And I'm just like, okay, we have a chat for 40 minutes. And he said, okay, I can offer you a job. But the point is that I can only offer you a job. Minimum I need is 3 years. And you'll have to move to Bombay. And while I was doing that, and I had some time because we were waiting on the visa, there was this one mail that I got. I had signed up somewhere. And then it was a mail from Bauhaus University. And they were going to be doing a workshop, which was 8 months long. It was a master's workshop. And they were going to be doing a workshop and selecting 10 portfolios out of the batch. I decided, okay, fine, you know, I'm anyway bedridden, so let me do this.
Yeah.
And so for a week, I did my portfolio.
Yeah.
On the last day, I was so sick of it because I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to go to Bombay anyway.
Yeah.
And I had applied to another firm in Delhi and I'd gotten in. And I'm just like, it's R in R plus D in Gurgaon.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
I was just like, okay, you know what, and so I'll just... So, Shikha and Sridhar,
right?
And so, I'd gotten in. I was like, I don't want to do this. I'm so tired. I'm sick of making portfolios. Yeah, that's all we do once you are able. Fine. I was like, I'll just send an incomplete one. So, in the mail, I wrote to them that like, literally like a typical architect, I'm sending it at the last second of your deadline. And I don't even know if you'll accept it. A week later, I had to reply to Rahul Mehrotra and I told him that I can't move because I'm not able to. Why don't I take up the offer a year later? I want to work and save up and then I'll come to you. And so I accepted the letter to work for R plus D. And so like choices were easy that
day.
Then the next day I get a week later when this was happening, I get a mail. We are going out at night and I get a mail saying it's at 9 o'clock. In the night. And I get a mail, oh, you've been accepted for the Bauhaus program.
Oh my god, okay.
And I'm like, wait, it's 9 o'clock. What time is it in Germany at this moment?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is fake. I'm telling you this is fake. I cannot get accepted. I'm just like, what? But me, and the fact that it was so unbelievable that I could not get accepted. That when actually it got established that, you know, this is not a spam.
Yeah.
I had no choice but to go because I could not miss this opportunity.
Yeah.
And so I wrote to Shikha and Sridhar that I'm really sorry and I got accepted to all of this. And I have to... So, like, it was very obvious choices for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Germany I got enrolled into, we did a workshop for 8 months and it was brilliant. And I think like one of the professors from that university, he was really fond of me. So he said that, you know, you are signed in as a German student till March. Your workshop ends in Feb. You have 1 month. There is another European workshop that's happening, but it's only open to European students. But you kind of fit the criteria.
Yeah.
Do you want to go?
Yeah.
I was like, where's the workshop? He's like, Portugal. I said, let me see if I can afford it. Hmm. He said, you know what? You're already enrolled as a student. We would like to sponsor you.
Wow. That's crazy. Said,
okay. And so I extended my stay. I stayed in Europe for another 1 month.
Yeah.
And I did that workshop. And from the European week that we got is just, I traveled a lot.
Yeah.
And finally, when the workshop happened in Portugal, when we ended, I got 2 job offers to work in Rotterdam and not Amsterdam. And by then, I had already prolonged my stay so much that I was so homesick. I just wanted to get home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And so I came back and I didn't want to leave right away. So that kind of decided the fact that I'm not going. Even though I regretted that choice a year later.
Yeah.
And then when I came back, during the workshop, I met somebody who was working with Ranjan. And he would tell me how they would work.
Yeah.
And so I was so in awe of how Ranjan was running, Ruchi and Ranjan were running their firm, that I was like, okay, you know what? I know who I want to work with. And so I joined them. And honestly, they've been the best teachers, including Ajay. And there's another associate, Radhika. Nobody ever drew a line there without explaining why they're doing that.
Yeah.
That was the turning point for me.
Oh. And then you never looked back. And now we're doing this podcast.
Absolutely.
So now I wanted to talk about clients, because different people and different firms deal with clients in very, very different ways. What is your style of dealing with a situation where there is a design argument with your client and they want something and it just does not go with the aesthetic that you work towards?
Yeah.
How is that situation handled? Or how do you think it should
be
handled?
I'm not very proud of it. I'm not very proud of it.
Yeah.
But at that time, you have to be very, very manipulative. Like, you have to be very diplomatic at that point. You have to understand, you have to buy yourself more time at that time. At least that's how we deal with it. We understand why they want something. We keep talking about it. We're like, oh yeah, you know what, we motivate them. We're like, oh great, talk more about it. At some point, they shed that want into this core idea at the end of this discussion.
Yeah.
Like, we don't ever shy away.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh okay, you know what? Achha, you wanted this? You wanted it for this purpose? Fine. And we give it to them. They slowly start to realize that that's how actually they have to, you know, kind of express what they need.
Yeah.
And in terms of my experience, they also have, that's how they've started respecting what we have to give. So now they sort of just tell us, okay, I need a space for this, and I want to perform this function now. I should be able to do this. How can I do that? So yeah, there
so
are
you,
some
you're also, not only are you training other people, you're also training your client.
Absolutely. But you must know how to pick your battles.
Yeah,
there are some things that you can say,
that's very important.
That's something that, there are a few things that you may be like, you know what, I don't have to be so uptight. If that's what the person wants, you give it to them. But yes, there you have to pick your battles and when to actually educate the client. And that is such a big process of doing architecture for somebody. Because especially the kind of projects that we're doing, the very vernacular, they're not commercial at all. And every project is very different to the other one.
Yeah.
So we, as a need only, we had to make the client be like, no, you know what, express more. And so like they only got like, you know what, you understood what I want, just give it to me. And so I mean, it's a great, it's a very big and strong relationship you have to form with the client. In this case, you're going to be with them for the next year or 2 years, and they're going to trust you with a lot of money.
Yeah.
But more than that, they're going to trust you with their future for at least next 2 decades.
Yeah.
If you're building a house, and if not more.
Yeah.
So that trust is very important. Mm. And you must know then how to pick your battles.
I think we've ended on a very cool note. You should pick your battles.
No, absolutely.
Thanks again, Richa, for coming in. Great. Thank you. Beautiful stories and a lot of valuable input. I'm sure this is going to be helping out a lot of people who are looking to start their firm.
Absolutely. And I think it's if you ask me 3 years down the line, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
So be ready for that.
Thanks guys for listening in. We have a new episode coming up next week. Stay tuned. Bye.
Bye.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.